I can say it's been good to be here this morning. I've been blessed by the service. It is just a beautiful day, beautiful time of the year, and I don't know, I just wish it would stay September for 6 months out of the year, but it doesn't. So let's enjoy it while it's here. And I think it's it just gives you an inspiration to think of coming together in the house of the Lord, worshiping together. And was blessed by the thoughts that were shared this morning. I want to talk a little bit about valuables this morning. For school devotions, I brought some of these little things right here. Pass them out to all the children. Can you remember what is it? Anybody? What is this? Austin? A penny. And so I got two of them here. What's the difference between them? One is shiny and one is pretty discolored. So what's this one worth? What's this one worth? 1 cent. How about this one? 1 cent. But it's not near as nice as this one. But it holds the same value. We talked about that there. They're the same value. They're 1 cent. Regardless of what you do, you can scratch it up. You can drive over it. You can do anything. It's still a penny. And when we think of value, we think of every person. It's the same value. We have the verse in where Jesus says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth on him should not perish but have everlasting life." So that is for everyone. That value is the same. Why are we considered valuable? Why is every person considered valuable? We talked about that. In Genesis, it says we were created in His image, right? We're created in God's image. And that's why every person, regardless of who they are, is valuable. Now, I'm going to read a few verses out of, and we'll also have in Galatians here. I'll just quote these. Galatians 3:8. "And the scripture, foreseeing that God would justify the heathen through faith, preached the gospel unto Abraham, saying, In thee shall all nations be blessed. So then they which be of faith are blessed with faithful Abraham." Then if we drop on down to verse 28 in the same chapter of Galatians 3, "There's neither Jew nor Greek, there's neither bond nor free, there's neither male nor female, for ye are all one in Christ Jesus. And if ye be Christ, then are ye Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise." So that's the ones that are Christ. So we can be Jew. We can be part of his seed, Abraham's seed, heirs according to the promise. So we know that God considers each person valuable. We were created in his image. And we talked about that a little bit in the devotional. When we look at history, just look at not so far past history when this country was founded, the way that people treated other people, the way that the people that were lived in the people groups that lived in this country for many years were treated, it was terrible. And that's just the way human nature is. That's the tendency. But that's not the way God looks at people. Everyone is equal. Everyone is valuable. So when we think of valuables, I want to look at another thought here. We're thinking of every person as being valuable. But let's look at some other things. The Bible talks about the unsearchable riches. And if you want to turn with me to Ephesians chapter 3, I want to read a few verses there. And let's think about some other things that are very valuable. And I think in the thoughts that were shared, Michael shared in the devotional there, David had found the thing that was the most valuable. He had that connection with God. And he made that connection there in the fields with the sheep. He knew. He had a connection. He knew who was, that there was a God in Israel. Ephesians chapter 3, I'm going to start with verse 7. Whereof I was made a minister according to the gift of the grace of God given unto me by the effectual working of his power. Unto me who am blessed and the least of all saints is this grace given, that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ. So we'll stop there for just a moment. Thinking about Paul, he says, unto me who am the least of all saints. You think of another time that Paul says that he gives all his credentials and he says, you know, I've got it all. So how do you put this all together? Well, I think it's given to him. Paul makes it clear that it's given to him by the effectual working of his power. So that is what Paul had wasn't something that he could learn. He could get of his own in his own because of who he was, because of where he was born, because of the learning he had. But it was something that was given to him. It's the grace, and that is the only way that we can get these unsearchable riches of Christ. It's not something we can attain of our own workings, makings. And then verse 9, he says, and to make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery, which from the beginning of the world hath been hid in God, who created all things by Jesus Christ, to the intent that now unto the principalities and powers in heavenly places might be known by the church the manifold wisdom of God, according to the eternal purpose which he purposed in Christ Jesus our Lord, in whom we have boldness and access with confidence by the faith in him. We'll stop there, and that's a beautiful chapter. We could read the rest of it, but we won't this morning. Thinking a little bit about unsearchable riches. You know, I had to think a little bit. If there was somebody would come up with a paper and a map, and we would have confidence that this thing was real, it was authentic, and it would give us, it would say somewhere on that trail down over here at Cedar Gap, down there close to the cabin, so many from a certain point, it'd give some pointers, a certain place, there's some buckets of silver and gold that are buried there. Somebody years ago did that. Now, if somebody would come up with that, that would become a very popular place. And you'd see dirt piles all over, don't you think? It just would. And, you know, it would be tempting. I mean, it'd be kind of fun to do something like that, right? To be digging and looking. It would be very, because why? Because there's valuables there. But here it talks about unsearchable riches of Christ. So what are we doing? How important is that to us? How much are we willing to put into it? How much are we digging into it? How much are we putting any effort into finding those unsearchable riches? Let's think about a young man, just make up a story. His father dies and he leaves a will that passes all his possessions on to his son, Charles. And it includes his bank accounts, it includes property, it includes stocks, it's everything is to be bequeathed to his son Charles. Well, his son Charles goes to the attorney and he asks for that paper that says that he is getting all these things. And he puts that paper in his pocket and he carries it around with him. Day after day, he runs out of money. He's ragged. He's hungry. He sits on the street corner with a piece of cardboard sign saying he's hungry. Ask for anything will help. And people give him things. And somebody says to him, he says, you poor fellow, he said, you are in bad shape. You need help. And he says, oh, no, I'm not. I've got more than I can ever use. And he digs his tattered paper out of his pocket and opens it up and he says, look, here right here it says it. that I, the all the inheritance that I have, all these things that are mine, there, see it right here. I've got more than I can ever use. And he sits back down. And he stays ragged and torn. He doesn't avail him. He doesn't go to the attorney. He doesn't file for those things. He doesn't do what he needs to do to get those things in his possession. But he's got it. It's all there. He's completely satisfied with that paper in his pocket. I've got proof that I've got it. It's all I'll ever need. You know, is it possible that we can go around like that with the text? We've got all that we need. We've got, it's all, the promises are all here. But we don't put ourselves into it. We aren't willing to give up our own, the things that, it's just some things that we aren't willing to give up. We don't value this enough to be willing to lay everything else down and go for the unsearchable riches of Christ. Is that possible to do that? I think we'd all say that is. What would we say about this young man that has that in his pocket, but he is not willing? I've got the text here. It's all I need. There's everything there I need. Someday, maybe that's what he was thinking. Well, if you think of the Apostle Paul, you think of where he was. You think of a man that was persecuting the church. He was absolutely against, in ignorance, we believe. He thought he was doing what was right. But we see the difference it made when that bright light struck him and he realized that Jesus was the one, he was the way. And the turn that he made, it wasn't something that he could do on his own. He had to be filled with that. It was the grace of God. And the challenge I'd like to leave with us this morning, you know, it means to find these unsearchable riches. It means rebirth. It means regeneration. It means putting our all into it and digging and searching and seeking God. You know, I believe that's what David did. David was, we read the Psalms, they're so beautiful that they, his, the heart that pants after God, the heart that, after the water brook, and there's just so many, he gives so many beautiful words of his desire. We realize, you know, we look later in David's life, he failed, but he was the kind of person that when he did and when he realized it, he made it right. And that's what really matters, is that we get back up and we keep digging, we keep searching. And the beautiful part about these unsearchable riches is that there is no end. We'll never get, we keep on and on, and it's there. It's like Michael said, that every time we look at it, there's something new that stands out to us. And that's the way the Word of God is. Let's not be satisfied with just carrying the text around. Let's make it a part of our lives. Let's dig in. Let's live it in our everyday lives. So that we can be like the Apostle Paul when he comes to the end of his life. Just a few words here that he says in 2 Timothy 4:7. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but unto all them. And that includes every one of us can put our names in there. But unto all them that love his appearing, to those that are digging for the unsearchable riches of Christ. Let's bow our heads for prayer.